Today on Real Radio.
You do not have the luxury of saying, I don't want to know Bible prophecy. You don't have the luxury of that. I'll prove it to you right now.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We've been looking at a section in Matthew's Gospel that takes a look at events that take place during the time in which you and I are living right now, the Messianic Age. In fact, Pastor Jack has made this into a mini-series because of its importance, and he has emphasized we absolutely must pay attention to Bible prophecy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his series of lessons called The Parable of the Fig Tree.
173,880 days. Some of you are like going, I'm going to go to sleep now. Well, here's the punchline. Wake up. Here it is. From March 14th, 445 BC, 173,880 days is 483 years. You land on a day. It happens to be a Sunday. It happens to be April. It happens to be April 6th, 32 AD. The day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus in Matthew 23 held every Jew responsible to know that day. And he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only recognized this thy day, the joy that was before you, but now it's taken from you, all because you did not recognize the day of your visitation. He held them accountable to know not the week, not the month, not the year, the day. Every Jew could have gotten up on Palm Sunday, and maybe many did, maybe many of them did, but you could have gotten up that Sunday as a Jew on Palm Sunday, 32 AD, you could have gotten up that day and got your kids dressed and said, kids, we're going to go down, we're going to go to Jerusalem because we're going to meet the Messiah today. And Jesus held them accountable to know it. That should have been a big wow factor for you. That is the fulfillment of literally the first coming of Christ. The first coming of Jesus was not Bethlehem. That's where he was born. His official arrival to the nation was when he allowed himself to be worshipped as king. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, fulfilling Psalm 118. The clothes and the palm branches are laid down on the path. Jesus is riding on the back of a donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. And every Jew who knew their Bible, Jesus held them accountable to know the scriptures. What's my point? He's going to hold you and I exactly accountable to know the same scriptures. You want to sleep through this? To your own peril. You want to go to a church that won't talk about this stuff? To your own peril. We don't talk about future stuff because it's just confusing and then... We're supposed to know it. You see, why should I know it? Because if God keeps his promises to the nth degree, he will also keep his promise to present you faultless before his presence in glory. He will keep the same promise to make sure that you enter heaven born again. He will make sure that you experience all that he's promised. Listen, it's Bible prophecy that gives you the assurance that God keeps his word. Outside, you remove Bible prophecy from your Bible, you have no guarantee that God keeps his word. None. You have no hope of God keeping his word if there's no Bible prophecy. None. That's why Jesus said, I've told you these things in advance, that when it happens, you will believe. That's why this is so vitally important. Jesus said, when you see that wicked imposter standing in the holy place who commits the abomination of desolation, in Matthew 24, Jesus says, for those of you who are alive at that time, when you see that happen, you better come down from your housetop, you better run into the wilderness, and you better pray that you're not nursing baby because that'll slow you down, and you better hope that Jerusalem, it doesn't snow that day because that will slow you up. He's speaking specifically to the Jewish people. It's absolutely awesome. Regarding the fig tree and the last day's events, Jesus says, watch and be ready. Mark this down. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak about the future. And here's the amazing thing. I'm going to give you a 2,000-year-old scripture passage. You're right now in the 21st century, and what he's speaking about, listen, has not yet happened, but I can tell you this right now. I'd love to, let me tell you, if I was a billionaire, I'd get this whole Wednesday night church service on airplanes, and we would go on over to Jerusalem. I could take you to the Temple Institute. Why? Because they have reconstructed in gold and in silver the actual utensils. They can't wait. They've got the high priest gown made. They've got the ephod made. They've been waiting. They've got the red heifers over. That's ancient history now. They've been doing red heifers. They've been raising red heifers to purify the temple for over 10 years. They have already the special blue dye that has to be used for the priest robe, and they have found that dye in a sea snail, and Israel is sitting on that all that data. They're waiting. The next time you look at the Temple Mount, forget about the Dome of the Rock Mosque. Forget about it. It's irrelevant and worthless. It has nothing to do with your Bible prophecy. Exact. I mean, not regarding our argument here tonight. When you're looking at the Temple Mount, to the right of the Dome of the Rock Mosque is a vacant lot that can house perfectly the old temple of old perfectly. They're waiting for the permission to rebuild the temple. My dear friends, listen. I talked with literal men whose life is dedicated to establishing, in fact, they have it, the cornerstone of the temple. They have it in waiting. And they're waiting to lay it down, and they're waiting for permission. When you read a moment ago in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, that he shall confirm a covenant with the Jewish people for 1 week. What's one? If you just went through this math problem here, what's 1 week? How long is 1 week? Can you guys put that slide back up real quick, the one with the time? Look at this. Do you remember the prophecy given was 77s are determined for your holy people and your nation, your city. 70 times 7 is 490. Jesus died on the 483rd year. The church age has been going on for 2,000 years where the gospel goes out to the Gentile world. You're sitting in it. The problem is, if you take 483 from 490, you got 7 years unaccounted for. No, you don't. It's the 7 years that the Bible says in Daniel 9, this man that's going to defile the nation, the temple, he's going to confirm a covenant with the Jewish people for 1 week, seven. The Bible tells us in numerous places that halfway through, in fact, it tells you 1,260 days into that seven-year commitment, 3.5 years is 1,260 days, he's going to cut off his agreement with the Jewish people. In the Bible says, in the middle of the week, he will break the covenant. Okay, listen. The seven-year tribulation is that 7 years. I wish we could just stop the clock and keep going on this tonight, because I could show you from the Bible, with nothing but the Bible, why the church cannot be on earth during that seven-year period of time. It's purely Jewish. It's just, listen, it's exactly how the church was not around from the previous 173,880 days. The church didn't exist during those 483 years of Daniel's prophecy period. Then the Messiah is killed. Then the church age happens. And the seven-year tribulation period is God dealing with his people Israel. It's a special contract he has with his people Israel. It excludes the church completely. That's why the book of Revelation is as it is. That's why in the book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, the church is never again mentioned in the book of Revelation until it's coming out of heaven with the Messiah, Revelation 19, and returning back to earth. It is absolutely awesome. That's just a teaser for some other day. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You guys okay?
Yes.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. There were false prophets in Thessalonica saying Jesus had already returned, and they missed it. They were saying, you guys missed it. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Apostasy, the word is to be taken away. And the man of sin is revealed. This is the guy we just read about in Daniel. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as, who? What? God, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not know, or do you not remember, that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now, notice in your Bible, it's capital H, he. Holy Spirit. Don't think it's the church. The church isn't restraining anything. It's the Holy Spirit in the church that's restraining evil. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit, when the rapture happens, doesn't go anywhere. Some people have said, who gets saved after the rapture takes place if the Holy Spirit's gone? Where did you think he was gone? He's not gone. For those of you who played football, it's a great word. The Holy Spirit is blocking sin right now. And this word, to be taken out of the way, imagine him blocking sin, and then he goes like this. Imagine, he just lets the linebackers through, and they rush upon the quarterback. The Holy Spirit is not leaving anywhere. He will restrain sin, and then he's going to stop restraining it. In that moment, I believe personally, it's my opinion now, I believe that when the rapture takes place, remember, it's the Holy Spirit's job to deposit the church into the presence of Jesus Christ. That's his job, the Holy Spirit. Once he does that, he lets evil go on earth. Can you imagine? You think things were bad in Santa Barbara the other night? When the Holy Spirit is no longer restraining, you now have the opening throes of the tribulation period soon to follow. It's going to be nuts. Let's keep reading in 2 Thessalonians. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one, listen to this, this is code, this is key, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, false miracles. People are going to be suckers for this. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They refused the gospel when they had opportunity. Verse 11, and for this reason God will send them, who? The rejectors of the gospel. Strong delusion. What's the result? That they should believe the lie. The lie. A lie is coming that has a definite article in front of it. It's not a lie. It is a lie is going to be told by this man we call the Antichrist that is going to be so powerful, people are going to believe it even if logic doesn't justify it. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a culture today that people not only believe lies, they love to be lied to. Don't think this can't happen. It's already happening. Verse 12, and they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to this. You see that? Watch this. I don't want to learn about Bible prophecy. I don't want to learn. I don't want to. I'll come back some other time. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Ushers, let no one out of the building. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul, the precious apostle, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spoke this passage. 2 Timothy 3, 1 says, but know this. Do you hear an option in that? Hear the command? But know this. Sounds like Jesus when he said, know this parable. That in the last days, perilous times will come. Stop right there. Leave it on the screen. You do not have the luxury of saying, I don't want to know Bible prophecy. You don't have the luxury of that. I'll prove it to you right now. Paul says, A, in the last days, it's going to get really gnarly. It's going to be really bad. Oh, yeah? What's it going to be like, Paul? I tell you what. Now, remember, he's speaking prophetically by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul said, there are going to be perilous times. The word perilous here means this. It's hard for us to imagine this anymore. But I remember my dad owned one of these. It was beautiful. Do you guys know what a planer is? That's what I called it. I don't know what it's really called. But it has a blade. It has a handle on the front, handle on the back. The big handle on the back, you push. And the handle on the front, you hang on to. And you go like this. What do you do with it, people? You shave wood down. You can have a log and you start pushing that plane until you turn that log into a toothpick. That's the word. Perilous times will come. Times that will just wear people down. God says to us tonight, if you've walked with the footmen, Calvary Chapel, and you've become weary, if you fought the lunacy of Sacramento and bad laws and all these, if you think you're dealing with evil and you're tired, the Bible says, what are you going to do when the chariots arrive and the Jordan begins to overflow its banks? In other words, can you imagine fighting chariots on foot while you're running through muddy water? The Bible says, you need to buck up. You need to put your big boy pants on. And you need to get ready. If you don't want to hear this, then you're a sucker for deception. I don't want to hear this. It'd be at a great expense to you. And I don't want that to happen. We're still in Timothy. Watch this. How are we going to recognize those days, Paul? I'll give you verse 2. Men will be lovers of themselves. Think for a minute. Does that happen? Did you read that guy's quote, the statements online, the maniac? It was all about him. He couldn't get a date, so he was going to kill girls. People were smarter than him, so he killed people who were nerds. Did you read that stuff? It was lovers of themselves. People who think the whole world exists for them. Lovers of money. Gee, I'm glad that's not a problem today. Boasters. This is brazen, bold braggers. I, me. Proud. Blasphemers. Are we living in a blasphemous age? Disobedient to parents, meaning that they do not recognize the authority, God-given authority that God gives a parent. Unthankful. Are we unthankful? I don't mean you, but as a culture, are we unthankful? Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers without self-control. Brutal. Violent people. Despisers of good, mockers of what is good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here's the shocker. Having a form of godliness, They dress up on Sunday. They live like hell all week long, but they dress up like heaven on Sunday. But they deny its power. They reject the person of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Paul says, from such people, run. Flee. In this parable, Jesus is warning. There are false prophets. There are false teachers. They're everywhere. And I can tell you now, there are more now tonight than there were 5 years ago. And they're increasing. And they're really cool and persuasive and charismatic. They're able to draw a crowd. If they're going to deceive, they're going to deceive by some of the greatest things known to man and what we appreciate. Think of it. Telling you things and me things that we want to hear. So what do you want to hear? They read the culture. They're spiritual. They have a church, but it's a false church. It's all about you. It's all about how you feel. It's all about what you want. It's a crossless, Christless, sinless, redemptionless, mind you, message. And you and I are being tempted to embrace what's cool. The worship is great, or the guy's funny, or it's slick and cool, whatever, you know, and makes me feel good. I don't know, you guys. The last time the Holy Spirit convicted me, it didn't feel good. Trying to leave LAX airport tonight to get here in time. I had a couple of non-Christian thoughts in the freeway. And the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? That's not right. You need to repent of that. Nobody knew. I didn't say a word. It was all in here. It didn't feel good. It did not feel good. But the Holy Spirit said, you belong to me. You don't think like that. I heard that. You tell me now what I think about that. Lord, you do not think that's good. And that's why Jesus died for me. And I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Are you with me?
Yes.
Listen, this is a big business before the throne of God. The Holy Spirit will convict, and our culture is trying to arrest the Holy Spirit for making people feel bad. You and I need him. We are sinners. And there's no heaven without us being forgiven. And you can't be forgiven unless you know you've sinned. That's why he's the Savior. Why do you think he's the Savior? To save us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Fig Tree. It's actually a mini-series that takes a very close look at a section in Matthew's Gospel, which addresses events that occur in the end times. In other words, right now and in the very near future. The Parable of the Fig Tree is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, this series called The Parables of Jesus is available on MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Now, if you enjoyed and benefited from this collection of lessons, The Parables of Jesus, and you want to hear them again from the beginning, they're yours on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Simply visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you'll know exactly what to do. It's real easy. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, should you need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.